love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays, and Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays, averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day. The longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
That you, Trudy?
It's me, Ruth.
Well, you were certainly up and off early this morning.
Yep.
And with up to breakfast. Now you sit right down there. I've got sausage and a few questions to go with them.
Where's Kate?
She's still up in a room. Her friend Trudy came down early, sharp as a tack. So I sent her out for a walk.
Mm.
You know, I don't think that girl ever smelled salt water before. Oh, Ben Wheeler, are you listening to me?
Mm. Oh, yes.
Here's your coffee. Might smarten you up a bit.
Now, let me be this morning, will you, Ruth?
Sure. Soon as you tell me a few things I'd like to know. Now, one thing I'm glad of, that you have a sister who knows how to make real country sausage meat. Just smell it cooking.
Yep.
Now, Ben, you better tell me what happened to Kate over on that island yesterday.
You know what happened. She got caught over there in the storm.
And when you went for her, it took over 2 hours for a mile or so. That kind of rough. Now, I know that, too.
You tell me how to run my own boat. There was a pretty strong wind blowing.
And if it blew against you going over, it should have blown you back that much faster.
Yep.
What kept you? Is anything wrong over there? Now, you kind of clammed up about that island ever since Kate got here.
I don't remember how I did. Now, those sausages about ready, Ruth.
Here.
Nobody cooks sausage meat like you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you'll hand me that new loaf of bread you baked.
You are not flattering me out of my good sense, Ben Wheeler. Now, Kate came in last night looking like she'd been pulled through a knot hole.
She just didn't want to leave the island.
Didn't want to leave? Then why'd she light the 2 flares as signals of distress?
The storm was blowing out and she wanted to stay a little longer.
After 4 hours?
I reckon she's got feelings about that cottage where she and Tom stayed.
Then what scared her?
Who says she was scared?
Ben, you're as shifty as bogwater. You haven't answered one of my questions yet.
Maybe you're not asking the right questions.
Now, don't you be trying that kind of talk on me. All I want is a simple answer to a simple question.
Good morning, Ruth.
What? Okay. Well, you look like you had a good sleep.
Oh, I did. That old sleigh bed is wonderful. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Kate.
Am I interrupting?
Nope, just finishing my breakfast.
And I reckon you could use some, Kate?
Oh, no, don't bother about me, Ruth. I'd like to go on out for a little while. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it?
It's smack cold.
I know, but look at the sun on that water.
Kate, I was just asking Ben now what...
Ruth, I'd like a little more coffee.
And you know where the coffee pot is?
That's what all this liberation talk does. Man can't get a second cup of coffee in his own kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I declare it's less trouble to wait on him than to argue with him.
It oughtn't to be a trouble. It ought to be a pleasure. Right, Kate?
Well, I'm on the side of the women, Ben.
Uh-oh. I get it, Ben. You just finished your breakfast.
See, I couldn't liberate Ruth if I wanted to. Kate, did you tell Ruth anything about that fella being in the cottage?
Well, no. I thought that was up to you.
Oh, I don't know. Just upset her.
Well, you should tell her, just as you should have told me.
I don't think he'll come back.
I hope he will.
Oh, Kate. Oh, it's for you, dear.
For me? Mm-hmm. Oh, who even knows I'm here?
Well, it's a man, and he said he tried to call yesterday and couldn't get through account of the storm. Well,
did you get his name?
Oh, dear, I didn't quite catch it. Something like Cushy, Tony Cushy, Tony Cushy?
Tony Cushing.
Ah.
Ruth, listen, would you do me a favor? I'm going out now. Would you just tell him I've gone?
Oh, but he sounded real worried. Don't you want to talk to him?
No, I don't. I can't.
Well, what do you make of that, Ben?
I make out you doesn't want to talk to him. I'll tell him.
Oh, no, you won't. He sounded real nice. I'll do it. I know he'll call back.
Hi, I've only got a minute. My job here at home requires my full attention. I just wanted to say a few words about hair coloring. My little girl has beautiful chestnut hair, like I used to. And it made me very conscious every time I brushed her hair of the gray that had been sneaking into mine the last year or so. I'd thought about hair coloring, but using peroxide or changing my natural color turned me off. Then one day I heard about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How it had no peroxide and came in 15 shades, one just like my own. I said, okay, I'll try it. Sure enough, Loving Care covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it made my hair softer and shinier, too. And some days, it's just such a comfort to peek in the mirror and see a woman who looks pretty terrific, considering her immediate surroundings.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
I've been across to Gull Island.
Already?
I just wanted to see if things were shipshape after the storm.
Oh, that was some storm. Scared me to death.
We've had worse ones. Did Kate, I mean Mrs. Wakefield, get back okay from the island yesterday?
Ben brought her. Hey, how come you call her Kate one time and Mrs. Wakefield the next?
I think of her as Kate, like everybody around here. But I was such a kid when she and her husband used to come up here.
I have an idea she likes Kate better.
You think so? She's all right, isn't she?
Sure. Why?
I just wanted to know. Is she staying much longer?
No. We both got to get back to work.
Oh. Did she say anything about the cottage when she got back?
Well, she didn't say much about anything last night, Joey. She'd had it.
Trudy, are you going to see Kate soon?
Sure. I'm going back to the Wheeler's house now.
Would you give her something for me?
Sure, Joey.
Tell her I found this envelope on the table in her cottage on Gull Island.
Oh? Where'd it come from?
Just tell her it was in the cottage, will you? Be seeing you.
Hi, Trudy.
Joey, here's Kate.
Oh, he doesn't hear me.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
You got up early, Trudy.
Yeah. Boy, I never heard so much noise in my life in one night.
Noise?
Wind, waves, bells clanging, gulls yelling.
You're just not used to the sea.
I'm scared to death of it. I just kept thinking, if only one bus would go by, I could get to sleep. Kate, Joey gave me this envelope.
Oh. For Kate Wakefield.
Some scrawl, isn't it?
Well, where did Joey get it?
He went out to your island early this morning. Said he found it on the table in your cottage. You know what? I bet he wrote it to you himself.
No, I don't think he did.
Well, how'd it get there? Somebody over there?
Oh, Trudy, I have a lot to tell you that I couldn't talk about last night.
Well, are you going to open that envelope?
Okay, let's go over there out of the wind by those lobster pots.
Oh, boy. Is there anything alive in those things?
Trudy, I'm going to have to get you used to the sea.
Yeah, someday. Hey, Kate, you know who that envelope's from?
Yeah, I think I do. Oh.
What is it, honey?
Trudy, I'm going over to the island.
Again?
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to get there?
Oh, Joey will take us.
Take us?
Will you come with me, Trudy?
Well, how far is it?
Oh, you can see it right out there. Not much more than a mile. Oh, there's Joey now. Joey?
I'll bet he was waiting for this.
You don't have to come, Trudy.
Sure, I'll come. Yeah, maybe that boat won't hold us all.
It'll hold five. And here's Joey. Joey!
Yep, I heard you, Kate. I was heading for the boatyard.
Will you run me over to Gull Island right now?
Sure. You going too, Trudy?
Sure.
I'll just go fill the gas tank. The three of us will ballast the boat real good.
That's what I was afraid of.
Trudy, I... Well, I want to tell you something before Joy gets back with the gas. I wasn't alone out on Gull Island yesterday. There was a man living in the cottage.
Oh, Kate! Someone you knew?
In a way. He was a friend of Tom's.
But nobody told you?
It's a long story, but no, nobody did. His name is Michael Cole, but... Well, Trudy, he isn't quite right. His mind is blown, as they call it.
Oh, you must have been scared to death.
I was.
Well, is he still there?
He vanished when Ben was bringing his boat into the dock. But he must have come back to the cottage. The note he left is almost unreadable.
Oh, wow.
Listen, Kate, I will not see you again. I am glad you came here once. The things I thought were mine belong to you. They're in the chest. I will probably never come back to Gull Island. Michael.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Greetings, ladies. Greetings, gentlemen. I am, as usual, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. My good wife reminds me that it has been an unconscionable long time since I thanked you for your splendid letters. She bids me say that on days when I receive no mail, I am not fit to live with. And she begs you, if our marriage is to survive, not to neglect me. Do I neglect you, dear listeners? Do I not each day pen a chapter of Vanity Fair? Well, then pray, let us get on with this one. Now, what had I in mind? Ah, yes, Becky and Giles.
Shall I, Giles? Oh, Miss...
Oh, does that voice from the tomb mean no, I shouldn't?
Oh, blessed if I know, Miss Becky. Like you say, a marriage was secret. Should Miss Crawley find out, that would be the very end.
Rawdon is certain she'd not find out.
How's he to be certain?
Only if we go to Scotland.
That Gretney Green place where lovers run off to?
Yes.
Oh, well, Miss, do that. Do. It fair gives me the tingles.
I can't get married just to give you tingles unless you can tell me how we're to go up to Scotland and back and explain to Miss Crawley where I've been so long.
No, 'twon't do.
Oh, Giles, I want to do what Rawdon wants, but I so fear this. Something tells me no.
Then you'd best not.
But something else tells me yes.
Well, 'tis only one yes, Miss Becky, and three no.
Four, counting yours.
Well, I ain't said no, nor I ain't said yes.
You've said both, and you're no help at all.
Miss, I know how to find out what's best you do. There's a gypsy woman tells fortunes. Most wonderful.
A gypsy? Where?
Oh, I don't just know exactly. Cook knows.
Cook went to her?
2 shillings it cost. She's got one eye. Not cook, the gypsy. One eye and bangles.
Oh.
And she ain't what you'd call clean, but, oh, she knows what will come certain true.
What did she tell cook that came true?
There'd be a dark man in her life, and there is.
Oh, humbug. There's a dark man in everyone's life at one time or another.
Well, there wasn't in cook's till the gypsy woman said.
What, cook has a young man now?
Well, he ain't exactly young, but he's a man with black hair, and she walks out with him. She don't want to very much, but the gypsy woman said, so she's bound to.
I've just been saved 2 shillings.
Oh, you've no need of the gypsy? You've decided?
No. 3 no's. I've not decided. I'm going to Miss Amelia's now. I'll ask her opinion. But I doubt she'll be any more help than you. Oh, Becky. Yes. 3 yeses now, 3 no's. I still have to decide all myself. Oh, I knew I would.
How can you not do it? Oh, how I wish George would want to marry me like Rawdon knew.
He will, dear Emmy.
But when?
Have you asked him that?
He doesn't like to be asked.
So you don't ask. And the engagement isn't even announced because George says wait.
I'm sure he has good reasons. He always has. Oh, if only he'd ask me to go to Gretna Green or anywhere in the whole world. Oh, Becky, will you marry Rawdon?
Yes. Oh, yes, I will marry him, but not in secret. Only when the right time comes.
Oh.
I've not planned and plotted and schemed only to have it all come to nothing.
Is marriage nothing?
Oh, Emmy, you know what I mean.
Yes, but I do.
Oh, don't argue with me. I've decided no, and there's an end to it. Are you expecting George?
No.
Then why do you watch out at the window?
I don't expect him, but always I hope.
Emmy, your father and I both don't like the way he neglects you.
He's very busy. He could be bivouacking or tending the couch of some wounded comrade or studying the art of war. Major O'Dowd consults George very often on the art of... Becky, there he is. I knew... Oh... It isn't George.
But is Captain Darbin. I told you, Emmy, you've made a conquest.
I don't want conquest. I want George.
Emmy has made a conquest, true enough. But there is no infirmity of character in Captain William Dobbin. George is his closest friend. Emmy... George's fiancée. Dobbin will be Emmy's friend only, much as he would like to be more.
George is with your father, Miss Emmy.
George?
Now, he's not here.
Well, why, no.
Came and went, did he?
He's not been here, Captain.
But he said... And I came with a message from Major O'Dowd.
He said he would be here.
Yes.
Well, then he'll come.
No, too late now.
Well, then what can have happened? What if he's hurt?
Emmy, dear, it may be a message was given to your father. You've said yourself he's very absent-minded of late. He could have forgot to tell you. Do run and ask.
Oh, yes, I'm sure that's it. Excuse me, please.
Captain, I wanted Emmy away so I could say this to you. George Osborne has not been here for 3 days. He makes engagements he doesn't keep, promises he doesn't keep, excuses that aren't true, doesn't answer letters she writes every day. Do you know all this, sir?
No, none of it. That's shameful.
How strange what wickedness a man may do and a woman yet think him an angel. Emmy's blind devotion never falters. Is there anything you can do about George?
By Jove, I'll try. You may depend on it, Miss Becky.
Oh, I knew I could. Oh,
the very first moment I saw her, I knew she was all faith and sweetness and innocence. How the devil can George treat her so?
Rawdon tells me he has a prodigious reputation for wild oats.
Oh, did have, yes. But now he's engaged to Miss Emmy, I thought. Are you saying he's still at it?
I don't know. You don't either?
Oh, just back from the West Indies. Don't know the gossip. And Osborne has said nothing except he loves Miss Emmy and means to marry her.
But did he say when?
No, didn't.
Does it not surprise you that the engagement has not even been announced? George keeps putting it off.
Joe.
I suspect, I've no proof, but suspect he's kept it secret from everyone, save his family.
Well, why would he do that? Oh, never mind, don't answer. He's been a devil of a fellow with the ladies. Ain't ready to reform. But damn it all, he does love Miss Emmy. I know it. Way he talked, he does.
In his way. His way is not Emmy's way. Will you try to make him see what he's doing to that poor, panting little soul?
You've my word on it. She's coming.
Oh, yes. Captain, I do think your stories about the West Indies are fascinating. Oh, Emmy.
Papa had no message, but I'm perfectly sure George had to see his own father or his sisters or mingle in society where I wouldn't enjoy it. He is such an ornament to society. I've seen Mr. Beau Brummel, whom everyone praises so. He can't compare to my George. And among all the beaux at the opera, when he's taken me, there's not one to equal him. There truly isn't. Truly, he is my Prince Charming and has stooped to such a humble Cinderella as me.
It is a heavy burden to a writer that mixed with the purest pathos of life, there is so much that is mean and ludicrous. Tomorrow, dear audience, you would do well to follow Dobbin. And I am your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Catherine Balfour portrays Miss Crawley. And your host for Author's Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. Audio engineer, Jerry Borenstein. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Claro. To know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Bob, can I talk to you for a minute?
Well, now let's see. I'm sitting here reading the evening paper in my own home, and my wife asks to speak to me. Yes, I think I can allow you a minute.
Oh, stop it.
What's your problem, honey?
It's not mine. It's Aunt Maggie's.
All right, what's her problem?
Well, should she or should she not give Maynard Blake something for Christmas?
Well, it's up to her.
No, it's not entirely up to her. We wanted to get a man's point of view.
On what?
Just what I said. Should she give him a Christmas present or not?
Well, that's up to her, isn't it?
No, dear. She doesn't want to be, well, forward or whatever you want to call it. It'll look very funny if she gives him something and he doesn't give her anything.
Well, I can't run down the street and ask Maynard if he's getting something for Aunt Maggie for Christmas.
I know.
Anyhow, the spirit of Christmas is giving, not worrying about whether somebody is giving you something in return.
That's a lovely thought. It's not the way it works, and you know it.
So what do you want me to say?
What should she give him? What would be appropriate?
I have no idea.
Men are so hard to shop for, and Maynard especially doesn't smoke, so that eliminates cigarette lighters and ashtrays and pipes and tobacco pouches.
Right.
And he doesn't drink.
He takes a drink.
One. Anyhow, being a widower, I'm sure he has all the ice buckets and wine glasses and all that sort of thing that he and his wife accumulated over the years.
Yeah, right.
And since he's in his 70s, he doesn't go skiing or playing tennis. I mean, he doesn't have any real hobbies, anyhow.
Well, he likes gardening.
Well, that man, you can't give him a bale of peat moss or a sack of fertilizer.
Hardly.
I'm sure he has watering cans and hoses and all the usual gardening implements.
I'm sure he does.
So, well...
Well, what?
What do you suggest?
I haven't anything to suggest. I don't know. Do you think she should give him anything for Christmas?
Well, she wants to.
Oh, that's something else again.
And Maggie thought of bedroom slippers. I thought that was too personal.
So do I. Bedroom slippers? She hardly knows him.
I mean, she hardly knows him. He's taken her out to dinner several times for drives in the country, comes up here, plays cards with her.
I don't think she should give him bedroom slippers. I think that's sort of asking for trouble, don't you?
What do you mean, trouble?
Bedroom slippers are very personal.
I know. That's why Aunt Maggie and I thought they were wrong. But we haven't been able to think of anything else. What do you mean it's asking for trouble?
Honey, look. I know you like happy endings. You want books and stories and movies all to end. And so they were married and lived happily ever after.
That's true. I do.
You're romantic.
Yes, I guess.
However, Maynard Blake is a neighbor to whom we introduced Aunt Maggie, and he has been very nice to her.
Yes, he has, and I think he really, you know, likes her.
Yes, yes, I'm sure he really likes her, but you can really like somebody without any idea of getting married to them.
Who said anything about marriage?
Oh, honey, that is all you've had in mind since Aunt Maggie came to visit. You worry about poor Maynard because his wife died and he's living alone. You worry about Aunt Maggie because she never got married. So you put two and two together and you're already planning in your mind a garden wedding.
It's still too cold when the tulips and daffodils come up. I thought when the roses were in full bloom would be nicer.
You see what I mean? Maynard Blake is not going to marry Aunt Maggie.
We'll see. I'm working on it.
Oh, I'm sure you are. And is Aunt Maggie planning on it, too?
No, I haven't said one word to her about marrying Maynard. Not a word. But she does like him, you know. She does. I have kind of a feeling maybe I'll bring this off.
Yes, I have kind of a horrible feeling you will, too.
Why do you say horrible feeling?
Well, I just think you're sort of trapping poor Maynard Blake into a marriage he hasn't even thought of. His wife's only been dead a year.
I know. That's the good part. Oh, heavens! I didn't mean it was good that Phoebe Blake was dead. I just meant it's well known that men who have had a happy marriage are the first ones to get married again, and rather quickly.
Oh, poor Maynard. I don't think he has a chance. Not with you working on the whole idea.
I don't know why you say poor Maynard. Aunt Maggie would make him a wonderful wife. She's a good cook. She's a wonderful housekeeper.
She sings.
She sings?
Roses of Picardy. Oh, well. Or when you come to the end of a perfect day.
Well, I like it. I like it. When I come downstairs in the morning and Aunt Maggie's singing away, she gets our breakfast. It's homey.
Not in the morning.
Oh, you're a grouch in the morning anyway. I think it's cheerful. Well, all this is beside the point. Now, what can Aunt Maggie give Maynard for Christmas that is personal, but not too personal? What she needs is something that is impersonally personal. You know what I mean?
No. And I'd like to stay out of it.
Well, Maynard's coming over tonight to play bridge, so maybe you can sort of sound him out when Aunt Maggie and I get coffee and cake, you know.
Play bridge?
Yeah.
Aunt Maggie doesn't play bridge.
She wants to learn. And you're very good at bridge.
Oh, I'm not that good. I wouldn't last one hand in a bridge tournament. I certainly don't know how to teach anybody how to play,
no,
especially
sir.
Aunt Maggie, who does everything her own way anyhow.
Get out the card table, dear. We'll have fun anyway.
Yes, it promises to be a really fun evening.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy, and a great way to cover that first gray. What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra-rich color, and it conditions, too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh, young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol cream formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol shampoo formula or cream formula to know you're the best you can be.
My goodness, it certainly is exciting learning how to play bridge. Who's winning so far?
Well, as a matter of fact, Aunt Maggie, you and Maynard are.
Well, that's because we've had all the good cards, I'm afraid. I'm not much of a bridge player. I like it, but I don't have any real card sets.
Well, that's one thing I do have, card sets. I remember years ago we used to play hearts all the time at home.
Come on, let's bid. Who dealt?
I did. One diamond.
One spade.
Oh, well, maybe he can't say one spade, can he? Doesn't he have to say two spades?
No, Aunt Maggie. Remember, spades are higher than diamonds.
Oh, yes. Yes. And diamonds are higher than clubs, and hearts are higher than diamonds.
That's right. Look, Aunt Maggie, I wrote that down so you can just look at this pad and remember.
Oh, yes. Oh, is it my turn to bid?
No, it's mine, and I'm going to pass. Now it's your turn.
I just don't know what to do.
Oh, you want Bob to look at your hand again, Aunt Maggie? Is that to help you?
No, he's been doing that. And I think it's time I was on my own. I mean, even if I make a mistake, I think you'll learn more when you make your own mistakes. Now, let's see.
Take your time, Maggie. We're just playing for fun, you know.
Oh, yes. And it is such fun. Now, no trump is when you have a lot of face cards in every suit, isn't it?
Yeah, well, sort of. I think you better stay away from no trump is yet, Aunt Maggie. Stick to a suit, you know, so you have some trump to play with.
That's a crazy way to teach her.
Well, no, I understand. All right, I'll bid 11 hearts.
Oh,
Aunt Maggie, you can't bid more than 7 hearts.
I've got more than 7 hearts.
That's not the point. Come on, let me see your hand. I'll help.
No, I want to do this my own way. All right, I'll bid 7 hearts.
That's a grand slam.
All right, I'm bidding a grand slam. And it's more fun to bid high.
All right, Aunt Maggie. You bid your grand slam. I'll pass.
Me too. Pass.
I'll double.
Oh, I don't think you should double, dear, when she's just learning.
I'm doubling. She's got to learn the right way, counting her tricks, but she wants to do it her own way.
Well, that's right. Now, who leads?
I do, dear. And leaving the ace of diamonds isn't too smart, but with a 7 heart bid, I think I'll take the tricks and run. Go on, Maynard. That's my trick. Are you trumping my ace of diamonds?
Yep, so we're sure to take the trick.
Well, I can do that, can't I? Trump higher over Bob?
Yes, if you don't have any diamonds.
No diamonds and no clubs. So I think the rest are mine, aren't they? I have ace, king, queen, jack, ten of hearts, and right on down. Then I have the ace and king of spades.
And you have what?
Let me see your hand, Aunt Maggie. Let
150 honors and hearts, and I doubled an ace, king of spades.
Yes. My, it looks so pretty when I picked it up. Just hearts, hearts, hearts. And then the other picture card.
11 hearts and the ace, king of spades.
And you doubled. Aunt Maggie, you did marvelously.
I never had a hand like that in all my life.
Well, congratulations, Maggie. You sure do have card sense.
Oh, it's just beginner's luck, Maynard. Well, let's have some coffee and cookies.
Yes, Les, I'll help.
No. Let me help her. I'll make the coffee, one of my talents. And it'll give me a chance to get some pointers from Maggie on how to play better bridge.
Oh, now, Maynard. As I said, just beginner's luck.
I know what Aunt Maggie can give him for Christmas, a really nice set of playing cards. You know, they have some beautiful ones.
You two shuffle the cards and get them ready.
Yes, my dear.
I don't believe she's never played bridge before.
Are you going to be a poor sport?
No, I'm just going to get on the ball, that's all.
Yeah, I think we better.
I'll be darned if I'm going to teach her anything, because before long, she's going to suggest we play for money.
Yes, probably.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. To have and to hold.
The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Angela, I'm so glad to hear that. Oh, yes, I'll tell Caroline and Daddy. How is Emily? Oh, I know it's hard on her. Would you give her my love? Oh, and when can we visit Jen in the hospital? I see. Well, you'll let us know? No, I don't have my Christmas shopping finished. All right, goodbye. Kurt? Kurt!
What time is it?
It is 10:30.
That late?
Did you get much accomplished last night?
Last night?
Yes, you did have a business meeting with that mysterious Swiss lady, didn't you?
Oh, that. Yes.
Kurt, when do you think you'll get your agency set up?
Oh, it shouldn't take too long. Is there any coffee?
Yes, and it's still hot, too. Well, it can't be soon enough for me.
That's good. I mean, these things take time.
Oh, darling, it's been weeks.
And it may take months. I thought I heard you talking.
Oh, yes, that was Angela on the phone.
Oh, yes, Emily Carter's sister. What did she want?
She was giving me the latest news on Jennifer.
Oh, how is she?
Getting better, but they're still worried about her.
I thought she was out of danger.
Well, she is, but there is a chance of brain damage.
Oh, no. From almost drowning?
It has something to do with her brain not getting enough oxygen.
Mm. Is it permanent?
Well, they don't think so, but they're not sure yet.
I still can't understand how she could have been underwater for 45 minutes and still live.
Well, Angela says it was because it was so cold that her body temperature dropped to 75 degrees, and because of that, she didn't need much oxygen.
Mm, poor little kid.
Angela said we could go to see her in a few days.
Oh, well, that's fine.
It's been tough on your father. I think Jennifer's his favorite.
Well...
After you, dear.
I didn't mean that.
No, well, come on. You enjoy being Daddy's little girl.
I do not.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I can't help how he feels about me, can I?
But I didn't say it was your fault. I just said you enjoyed it.
That is why I want to get an apartment of our own. Staying on here at River Run, it just makes it harder.
Harder for what?
To be independent. To live our own lives.
Well, we're going to have to go on doing it for a while.
But why?
Well, unless you want me to ask Caroline for a loan.
Oh, Kurt, no.
Well, the money tree has been hit by an early frost.
What do you mean?
My income has suffered from sudden deflation. The bond market is not what it used to be.
You mind if I join you, Angela?
Oh, no, of course not, Helen. Oh, here, let me move these dishes. I saw Dr. Foster leave.
Yes, he had to go up to emergency.
He's quite attractive.
Yes.
And he's married, too.
That doesn't keep him from being attractive.
Well, I didn't say it did. I just thought if you were getting any ideas, you'd like to know.
I'm married, too, Angela.
That's right, you are.
Now that that's settled, what should we talk about?
How are your patients coming along?
Do you mean, when are they going home?
Well, that's what we aim for here at Jefferson Memorial Hospital.
Well, two are leaving tomorrow, but the rest will be here for some time for extensive plastic surgery.
That means you'll be staying on?
I haven't decided.
Well, we can handle them, Helen. Not that you haven't done a good job, but...
You mean, here's your hat, what's your hurry?
No, I don't. But there must be a lot yet to do back in Brixton. After all, a town doesn't recover from an explosion like that overnight.
Oh, Paul tells me they're doing quite well.
Well, you must miss your husband, though.
Our marriage has settled down to a comfortable pace.
What's a comfortable pace in a marriage?
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't know, Angela.
You mean since I'm not married?
Well, yes.
Don't assume because I'm not married that I've been living in a vacuum, Helen.
Checkout time is 3:00. It's all right. Please have my bill ready. Yes, I'll call the bell, Captain. Thank you. Oh, yes. Yes, my stay has been very pleasant. Thank you. Good?
Yes.
Come in.
I'm sorry I'm late, Lisa. I just couldn't get away. Hey, aren't you glad to see me?
Of course, darling. Let's have a drink. I ordered some wine.
Ah, memories of your apartment in Zurich. Here, I'll open it.
Those were the days, weren't they?
Well, let's drink to even better ones.
To better days for everyone.
I have a surprise for you.
You have a surprise for me?
Yes. You're invited to River Run tomorrow night for dinner, and you'll meet all the Carters.
Oh. Oh, that's too bad, darling. I have a date.
But I thought you didn't know anyone in Chicago.
I have a date with an old friend for dinner at the Kronenhalle.
The Kronenhalle? In Zurich?
Yes. Zurich.
I don't understand. You aren't leaving Chicago.
I am leaving Chicago, good. And you, my darling.
But why?
Come on, now. That can't be so hard to figure out.
But we belong together.
Oh, that's funny. Because for a long, long time, that's what I thought, too.
Why are you going?
Won't you ever, ever grow up?
Why?
How long do you think you can go on, casually and recklessly living to please yourself, expecting us all to applaud you as we pick up the pieces?
But this was as much your idea as mine.
Of that I am guilty. I hope to give you a chance at some security, but...
It's not my fault that Lynn doesn't have the money.
I didn't say it was. But when you found out, you still went ahead and married her.
I had no choice.
You could have come back to Zurich.
And go on living off of you.
What do you think you're doing now? You're living off the money from my bracelet. And when that's gone, you'll be living off the Carter family.
It was a chance at some security.
What security? You have no money of your own.
When I get the agency going...
That takes more time and work than you are used to, Kurt.
Oh, Lisa, don't go. I need you.
I know you do. And I'm sorry.
You can't leave me.
Yes, I can. Don't you remember I said once... I said once I loved you and wanted you, but would not need you.
Lisa, please.
No, don't.
You do want me.
I want something more than what you can give me.
What do you mean?
A small shred. A wisp of self-respect.
What have I done?
I don't blame you that much. It was a crazy idea in the first place.
If you'll just be patient, I know we can make it work.
I told you, marrying for money was almost the hardest work there was. Well, if you make it work, it's all yours.
All right, then. I will. Alone.
I guess I'm lucky.
Why?
I never married you.
It wouldn't have been so bad.
I think it would have been hell.
Okay, go then. You know, you're the first woman who ever walked out on me.
You have to learn sometime, Kurt.
Do you really know what you're doing?
Yes.
Was it all a waste, Lisa?
No. No, not all of it.
Then let's give it a chance.
Goodbye.
If you think I can't make it without you...
Fine. Goodbye.
All right, then. You can go to hell.
And where do you think I am?
And to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.